the critical explanation or interpretation of a body of work. We examine the fandoms of young and old, looking from origin to ending and everywhere in between. They say you never truly know someone until you know what they are passionate about. Sit back and buckle up. Welcome to the Exegesis.
What's up, everybody? It is another wonderful Thursday evening. Hopefully everybody is doing well, and welcome to the Exegesis. And of course, you know, this is where we do all things pop culture. In fact, we have some guests tonight to talk about such, so let's go ahead and bring them on. We have Ro coming in from the Scarif podcast. Welcome, Ro.
Thank you for welcoming me. Good to be here.
How you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Awesome. And also, as an added treat, we have Nicole coming at us from the Used and Abused podcast. Hey, Nicole, how are you?
Hello. It's good to be here. I'm excited to be with you. We're back with you for tonight. And as well as Ro, the Podfather.
Absolutely.
So, I came prepared. And, I'm all ears tonight.
I'm all ears.
Good.
I thought about wearing some, but I don't know where they went. So
we should all be wearing Disney ears.
Oh, including the ones that get the sticky in the eye.
Yep. Those are the best. Those are the best.
I'll just stick with my moose ears. More moose. Wrong show. Anyway, I really do appreciate you guys coming on, and of course, by the link time. So, my guests tonight are part of the wonderful Red 5 Network.
Hey.
So you can always find us at bio.link/red5. We have so many podcasts with amazing content. Go to bio.link/red5, and you will. Just be astounded. And yeah, of course, mine, bio.link/exegesis, EXEGESIS, kind of like ENCYCLOPEDIA, which is a Disney thing.
LMNOP.
I actually learned how to spell encyclopedia from Jiminy Cricket on a Wonderful World of Disney, or I think that was the name of it, on a Saturday night, where, you know, back like the late 70s, early 80s, but yeah. And of course, we have, you can reach us on Twitter, of course, at Scarif Podcast, and for Used and Abused, at Used and Abused Pod.
It's true. Yes. Oh, did you know that the bio links also work in reverse? I didn't know that. So it's bio.link/red5. But if you plug in red5/bio.link, it also takes you there. I found that out. I think I saw one of Danny's shows, and she had it backwards. And I'm like, why do you have it backwards? And then I tried it, and it worked.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. But that's neither here nor there.
All right. And of course, we always have a chat open for anyone that likes to come in. As of right now, we have Charles from our Conversations in the chat, plus our esteemed panel here. So, hey, if you guys are listening to the audio version of this, come on live Thursday nights on the YouTube. Come join the chat. I know it'll pick up here really soon, but yeah, that's awesome. So I had a really cool thing happen this last week.
Besides us being here?
Well, yes, other than you. I mean, you guys are without work, so I can't tell you how awesome it is to have you here. But a friend of the show and another Red 5 podcast had a giveaway.
Oh.
In order to win, you had to comment and like and subscribe. And for bonus points, you could say something you liked about, I believe it was Star Wars. And so I entered, thinking, you know what? I never win anything anyway. But any chance to promote this show, I'm going to do it because they're awesome. And sure enough, I won. I don't know how, but I won. I never win anything.
Very nice.
Thank you so much to Big T, Little T.
There you go.
Podcast I guess it's a podcast. They do all sorts of things. They do games and talk about Star Wars and all sorts of pop culture stuff. So here is the box.
Oh, nice.
I haven't even opened it except for just to take the tape off.
What did you get?
It's still in there, but let's see what I won. Man, I'm excited. I'm just not even going to. Man. All right. Well.
What do we got?
I got the man, the myth, the legend.
Very nice.
Wow.
Starship, as they're calling it now. So awesome. Can't wait to
put that. Very nice. Really cool, like slave. That's a good ship. Cool ship.
Yeah, I like that. Very nice.
Yeah. And on top of that, I do have the clone trooper set.
Very nice.
Look at that. Oh,
wow.
All of the glory.
Do they all come in that set?
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
That's a beautiful set.
Yes.
Can't wait to see the finished product.
Oh, man. And then, of course, the sticker swag.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Yes. There I've got one of those.
We know that guy.
We know that guy right there. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Yes,
and,
we do.
And Big T, Little T stuff, man. It's so there's the...
some stickers.
So awesome. I'm so happy. Very nice. They're on the road. They were on the road to 2000. So congrats to them and their success. Yes. Really, really, really happy for them.
DJ, man, I hope you get to meet them one day because Todd and Trent are amazing. And if you're listening to this, follow Big T, Little T. They are just wonderful and they are a delight. Ro could probably back me up. We hang out with them. They're our family. And we get to go to local cons with them. It's like, this is awesome. So,
I have a feeling that DJ is going to, I keep calling you Charlie. Because I know you way back then. You were the first winner of one of our contests, but back then they called you Blake.
Blake? Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah.
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 That's interesting.
I answer to anything, that's all right. Hey,
I'll just call you Diggory because that's just my specialty.
Yes, so. But right. I think a little birdie told me that we might soon see DJ in the flesh, in person. And that would be a lot of fun. Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yes,
come
yes.
Up anytime.
Possibly in the Windy City. So, we'll have to, I've carved out some time, so we'll have to make that happen. So we did get a couple more additions to the chat. We have Megan joining us. Welcome, Megan. And we also have Isaac.
So, what's up, Isaac?
Yeah, welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. So,
Megan, I have not forgotten about your stickers.
I just thought she was excited for my stickers.
She loves stickers.
Sir Charles is cracking me up. When him and Pat grow up, they want to be like Little T.
Well, it's going to take a while, especially for Pat.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, one of the things that we were talking about just a little bit ago in our Red 5 chat was a place. Well, I mean, let me just play this real quick, and that way you guys can understand, and then we'll have Ro talk about it.
Let's see.
Blow that.
Rancho Obi-Wan, the Guinness World Records certified largest Star Wars memorabilia collection. Located in Petaluma, California, featuring the collection of super collector, author, and Star Wars fan ambassador Steve Sansweet.
The most powerful Jedi ever.
Visit RanchoObiWan.org and subscribe to the Rancho Obi-Wan Virtual Museum. A fun, authentic fan experience featuring rare photos, videos, Steve Sansweet Q&As, virtual tours of the museum, exclusive behind-the-scenes stories and information, and so much more. Plus, your subscription helps ensure the future of the museum. It's the Rancho Obi-Wan Virtual Museum. Subscribe now at RanchoObiWan.org. Get tons of cool perks, information, and history of Star Wars collecting from the man who knows it best, Steve Sansweet, while contributing to the preservation of the world's largest Star Wars memorabilia collection. RanchoObiWan.org.
So, Nicole, you heard that, though, right?
I did. I always wanted to go. Always.
And I guess the chat heard it, too, because I see Megan responding to it. So, all right.
So it's just Ro. All right. So, yes. So, Ro, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about Rancho Obi-Wan.
Well, obviously, Rancho Obi-Wan, run by the wonderful Steven Sansweet. We've had him on the show. Brad and I talked to him a couple of years ago on May 25th. I think it was. I think that's a special Star Wars day. I'm pretty sure. But we've been friends of Rancho Obi-Wan for a while. And I know last year we all ran that spot that was produced by Jimmy Mack over at Rebel Force Radio. And they are friends of Rancho Obi-Wan as well. But I really want to encourage anybody that is able to join up and ramp up their membership. It's a really great way to support, Rancho Obi-Wan and Steven Sansweet. I mean, Steve has one of the largest collections of Star Wars memorabilia in Northern California. I think he's in the world record, the Guinness Book of World Records. But he does it all on his own. He's got a huge facility and he relies on memberships and fans of Star Wars to, help him with memberships. Obviously, the ability to keep a building and all the things that you need to maintain, such a large collection of Star Wars items. And then he's open to the public and he's up there in Northern California, just being an awesome Star Wars fan and ambassador. I'm sure you've seen him, everywhere where we talk about Star Wars collectibles. But if you guys go to RanchoObiWan.org, you guys can, help out, become a member, a monthly member or a yearly member, or do kind of like a one-time donation to Rancho Obi-Wan to help Steven, maintain the facility and really preserve a large collection for generations to come. I think, we just had a show on collectibles. I think collectibles are very important to the fandom. They are very important, obviously, to individuals that collect, whether it's Star Wars or not. I think it's important for us to kind of support each other's, hobbies, especially, Steven Sansweet. He's basically, preserving, this collection, very large collection of items in this franchise that we love so much. So, go to RanchoObiWan.org and poke around there and see if whatever you can, finagle into a membership. They've got, some really nice swags. If you want to be a one-year membership, there's a patch and a button that's really cool. Then you get to do all sorts of things. It's really great. So absolutely a must-see if you're ever up in Northern California. In Petaluma, California, there's I'm gonna rent a big school bus. We're gonna pack into the we're gonna go over there,
yes!
Man.
Let's do it.
What if we do Scarif Con travels?
Oh, there you go.
See? That now you're thinking.
Now you're thinking.
I got the ears. We're good.
We're good.
I'm,
but
I'm feeling Walt Disney today. You know, I'm feeling Walt, you know.
Very good. Getting
it going.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Thanks very much for talking about that, Ro. I know I've seen a documentary on it, and I know I saw the show that that you guys had with him on it. I think we've talked to Megan when she got the chance to meet him. I think she said twice in the same weekend, which is pretty cool. But yeah, hey, we have Andrew to the chat. Welcome, Andrew and Patrick Griffin. Welcome, welcome.
What's up, everybody?
Yes, yes. Andrew says Red Five Network World Tour.
So we're going to have to, okay, so we can start in Chicago. We'll go down to, well, we have to go to Michigan and pick up Rob. Mm-hmm. And convince him that Star Wars is not dead, and then go down south pick up some folks in Louisiana.
Don't forget Danny. She's in St. Louis.
Right. Then we'll come back. We'll come back up, go to St. Louis, and then we'll cross the Rockies and make our way to Northern California. We probably need to go into the New Mexico and Phoenix area. Pick up a couple people and then zip around and then head on up to Northern California. That would be an amazing trip. Love it.
All right, let's do it.
For some reason, I have that Muppets song going in my head when they're driving through, you know, on the bus. Yeah.
You know, I love Muppets.
Andrew. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Andrew. Andrew.
Oh, awesome. All right. Let's see. Where was I? Oh, yes. That was in place of news and everything. So we're just going to hit right on the main topic here, which is, of course, Disney Plus. And we're going to look at the numbers. We're going to look at some of the content. And ultimately, we're going to ask ourselves the question, is Disney Plus the success that they were hoping for? So, I've talked to a lot of people. I even had a listener poll on it. And so we'll get into those numbers as well. It was a wide, wide version or numbers were just everywhere. Distraction. I might be distracted for a few minutes. They ended up taking my kid to the ER for foot. So, wife's just updating me. All right.
Kids first.
God, what a nice wife. She takes her, you know, the kids to the ER, and you're just sitting here talking to your friends about Star Wars and Disney Plus and not a care in the world. Jeez.
Yeah, well, I don't do blood very well, so it's better for her to deal with that than something. And yeah, so Megan, Disney Plus is something, just not sure what. So there we go. So for the numbers, all right, Disney Plus started November 12th of 2019. They had a big, huge ramp up for it. Months in advance, you could say, hey, sign me up, take my money. And when it was all said and done, it came to the United States, Canada, and the Netherlands on November 12th. And then the next week, they expanded into Australia, New Zealand, and Puerto Rico. Beginning costs were, I believe, $7.99 for the initial membership. But you could get different bundles and package it, different things. And it was up to $12.99 if you wanted the package that included ESPN and Hulu. And that was Hulu with ads, not without. So you still had to suffer through all the commercials that everybody hated. And when it came out, it was reported that there were approximately 10 million subscribers at launch. So did you guys sign up for it for during the launch, or did you guys wait till it came out a little bit?
No, we signed up because, as I said in the chat, the first ScarifCon was during the same time. We had it in November of 2019, and we were waiting, you know, we were waiting for The Mandalorian to come out because that was kind of like the flagship show. We had a lot of guests during that, and we wanted, obviously, to talk about The Mandalorian. We had...
prior to meeting me, holy cow.
Yeah, that's so weird. Yeah, we had Yoshi, who worked on The Mandalorian and also worked on Rogue One and Rise of Skywalker. So he was with us in Chicago for that. And so we definitely signed up because there was a lot, you know, obviously there was a lot of things that were promised to us. Mm-hmm. Obviously we were all looking forward to new Star Wars content via the Disney app. And that's just, you know, we were just very excited about it, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Nicole, how about you? Were you one of the initial subscribers?
I did it. I did the prepay for a whole year.
Yeah.
I prepaid, got grandfathered in, and loved it. Excited for it. I was all about it. And it wasn't just from Armando for me. For me, it was like the excitement and nostalgia of watching all these other original older classics. Mm-hmm. You know, some that I have, some maybe I didn't have on DVD or VHS. And so I was really excited. Now, for me, I only got Disney Plus. Hulu, I was just like, okay, whatever. I don't care. And ESPN, we already had it because we also have Xfinity out on our living room TV. So it was just like, I'll just do the one. We're good. We're good.
Yeah, I was an original subscriber as well. I did the ESPN and Hulu because I live out here in the middle of nothing and we don't get cable. So, but Charles, and I put it up on the screen,
what a steal.
Prepaid for 3 years as a D23 member. It's $350 a month.
Wow.
Man, that's...
Wow.
I guess that ended in what, 2022?
This year, right?
2020?
Yeah,
21. So 22. Yeah, 2022 would have ended.
Yeah.
But Patrick, and I know it's slow. Day one member. Over time, he added Hulu and ESPN for soccer games and Huskies football.
He's talking about DeKalb, NIU Huskies. I only know. and just for Megan.
Right. I'm trying to see what Roe put here. This third quarter of two number of subscribers dropped for the third time in a row since it launched. Yes. Yeah, I definitely have that in the notes here. When it first launched, Disney Plus boasted 7,000 television episodes, 500 films, and that's including original television series, films from Disney Channel, National Geographic, Freeform, 20th Television, 20th Television Animation, ABC Signature. And I guess my voice activation notes are on because it says, welcome, Charles, in here. And yeah, so, all right.
Welcome.
Right? Yeah, that's... my daughter has a speech recognition tool that helps her write for her school. And I've been trying to mess with that to get it calibrated for her. So apparently it worked on my computer as well. Anyway, so in 2022, Disney Plus generated $7.4 billion. That's with a B, billion dollars in revenue.
How much?
$7.4 billion in 2022. And that was a 42% increase from the year before. That's an astounding amount of money.
Yes, but I think it still pales in comparison to the king of streaming, which is Netflix.
Yes. Yes, yes. And I didn't include the Netflix Netflix stats, but I know it's outrageous, and I know that they keep jacking up my price. I think it's like,
yeah, they're about to. I mean, they're all about to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So let me ask you
$20 for the basic.
Yeah. Netflix. Let me ask you guys this: on the Disney Plus launch, what was the thing that attracted you to have the service?
Nicole, go for it.
Again, it was the nostalgic. I was so excited. The first day, I was watching old movies, old Mickey Mouse, all the stuff from my childhood, my mom's childhood, my grandma's, you know, well, her teenagehood. And that's what raked me in. I did watch one movie, but I'm not going to discuss that because that made me slightly mad. I mean, you can ask if you want to ask, but then I was mad and I haven't watched it again since. But
it's, not,
again,
it's probably not the same. Probably not the same movie I'm thinking.
Probably not. Probably not. And trust me, I was on my FB like, because, you know, when you watch older documentaries with, you know, Walt himself talking about things and you see that, you know, what they've done, it's like, come on, people. Anyways, I'm sure we're going to eventually talk about it because I think it's also part of the reasons why they're going down. But,
yeah, for me, it was the promise of more Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Marvel, I really didn't care about at the time because I normally went to the theater to go see those, and that was fine. But secondary was the old classic 1980s Disney movies that I grew up on that I wanted to see again, Flight of the Navigator, things like that, that yes. are just fun that and I wanted to show my kids that, you know, hey, this is what I watched when I was your age. So,
and DuckTales. Oh my gosh. I do have them on DVD now, but that being said, I love DuckTales. So I was so excited to watch DuckTales and Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers and be a kid again. Just give me a big bowl of cereal, you know. And I will also like to add, though, this was also a big change in my life is that I had just moved to DeKalb. And so for me, like, that was something I could enjoy and kind of feel like I'm slightly escaping. Like, this is prior to knowing that guy. And then that guy, like, it was before that. So I needed, like, of course, we didn't know, of course, the coming that year that we were going to need it even more because, you know, the world was about to go haywire, you know. And it was just, like, so many changes. So I really I enjoyed the nostalgia just to kind of get rid of stuff. You know what I mean? Escapism. Yeah. Beyond books. Because sometimes books, I love books. Huge book reader. Sometimes you just need to just be in a movie and just loll out.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. For me. And then you got stuff. Yeah. You know, for me, it was definitely Star Wars. Like DJ said, I think, you know, all the Marvel movies, I wasn't interested, not because I didn't like, I loved the Marvel movies. I bought everyone. So I didn't need a streaming service to watch the Marvel movies. Cause I already had them. And then, you know, I don't know as far as the classics one, but I think really the advent of new Star Wars really is what sold me to subscribe. Cause obviously, you know, at 2019, Brad and I were just starting the Scarif podcast. We had brought in Alex to help out, Alex from the Salty Nerd podcast. And he was helping me with some of the episodes. So we subscribed in order for us to have content to, kind of use to talk about, you know, additional, you know, new Star Wars. And I think even now, I think for me, Netflix is still like one of the streaming services that I go to more often than anything else. The only reason I go into Disney for anything really is to watch Star Wars or the new Star Wars. Because again, you know, I'm not into the whole McClunky thing. I can just pop in my original, you know, DVDs and watch, you know, the versions that.
How about VHS?
I have all my VHSs. I've got everything. Laser discs too.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants.
So I did have the annual revenues written down. It was just a little bit further down. In 2020. after the first year, they had $2.8 billion in revenue. 2021, it went up to $5.2 billion. And 2020 was $2.8 billion. 2021 was $5.2 billion. 2022 was $7.4 billion. Let's see. I'm trying to see. I guess my voice recognition kind of messed up my notes a little bit, but I'll get them back here in order. But yeah, I, as of September of 2022, there was over 150 million subscribers. And I know that Disney Plus is now in 30 countries. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that's, to me, that's just, for a streaming service, that's just a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it a little bit so far, but there has been a dip in the numbers. I think the highest it went was almost 160 million. In quarter three of 2023, they've actually lost about 20 million subscribers. And so they're down to 140 million. But yeah, I mean, the app itself has been downloaded over 350 million times, just the app. That's not including TVs that are already have it programmed into it. This is just on a phone or a device or computer or something. Imagine if you had 350 million clicks on an episode of Used and Abused or Scarif podcast. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just, yeah, that's amazing to me that, and I mean, I know Netflix and other services can get that, but to me, Disney Plus is more, it's a more centered point of content than what you get in other services. So mm-hmm. the audience is a little more limited for Disney Plus mm-hmm. than say for Netflix, where you can get the horror genre, a lot of the rated R stuff. Disney's Disney, and it's pretty cool that something like that gets that many services.
Do you guys feel that the splintering of the Disney brand is affecting their numbers overall because they're packaging Hulu and ESPN along with Disney Plus? The fact that they don't have everything under one roof, like, you know, let's say, you know, Netflix, obviously you can go to Netflix and you can't find that on any other app, where Disney, it's like, if you wanted to watch, you know, something Disney, you have to kind of remember, like, is it an ABC product? Is it like 2020, like a news thing, or is it a movie like the MCU? Do I have to launch? Which app do I have to launch? Do you feel like that splintering has any effect on the subscribers?
I don't know. For me, I think it's the added benefit. Like, you just hit the app and you got Marvel, Star Wars, Disney right there. Pixar, pick your poison. Let's go. And they do. They have them all on top. You pick, you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, that's actually the next thing that I have here is we have the main categories that you find on Disney Plus. So, of course, Disney Classic. Any of the older animated things. Any of the older live action stuff. Most. There are a few exceptions. And for what's not on there, they change it up month by month as well. They'll take some things off. They'll add some new things. Mm-hmm. They'll recirculate. I showed my kids the other day, they've never seen Swiss Family Robinson. They've never seen the original Treasure Island. So, I mean, they were at a crazy point where VHS kind of went away, and it was hard to find, especially out here in the desert. Things are really hard to find. So VHS, DVDs at the time were out here were still very expensive because no one had a player. And it, yeah, it was pretty crazy. So we have the Disney classics. We have Star Wars, which most of us are huge fans of. We have your Marvel movies, or most of your Marvel movies, TV shows, things like that. And then one of the ones that gets probably the least amount of recognition, National Geographic. I love National Geographic. I love watching the documentaries, the things about the animals. There's so many really cool shows on there, whether it's was it Unlimited with Chris Hemsworth, The World According to Jeff Goldblum. There's just a lot of different things that are in there, history and animals and just really cool programming that you don't get in a lot of other streaming services. So that's how I normally fall asleep at night, is I'll throw on a National Geographic and listen to David Attenborough talk about animals. I'm just like, I listen to that dude read me the phone book. And yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. And it calms me. And I love it. Absolutely love it.
And I think they need to make that more of a thing. You know, Walt Disney himself, he loved nature. He put nature into his movies. He would bring animals into the studio so people could actually, when the animators were drawing them, they could actually see them in real life and stuff. Yeah. And he would have loved that. He would have loved, one, he would have loved the technology of all this. Two, he would have loved the whole thing with National Geographics. You know, there's a few other things I don't think he would have liked, but that he would have. So,
what's up, Danny?
Hello,
hey, Danny.
That's just for you.
Oh, yep. So we do have Danny from Comics and Cosmetics in the chat, and Backyard TARDIS. I believe he's in there earlier. Yep. I just missed over the comment, but got him in there. So welcome. Thank you guys for joining us. But yeah, I mean, there's so much content that you can get on here, and for a limited streaming service under the ABC umbrella, there is quite a bit that's there. And let's see, we talked about main categories. So now we're going to get a little more pointed. So, is there anything that you guys might not watch? Say it's the classics or National Geographic or Marvel. I know we all watch the Star Wars stuff. Anything you put out Star Wars, we're into it. But is there something there that you, one of those channels that you really don't watch, what would it take to get you more invested into that aspect of it, bro?
I think for me, the only thing that I really don't watch on the Disney app is some of the very young programming. Because, you know, I mean, my son and I, we watched all the stuff growing up, but, you know, he's 19 now and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't watch that some of that young stuff anymore. So, yeah, that would be for me.
Nicole, is there a part of it that that you don't really watch all that often? And what would it take to get you to watch?
Well, like the reminder of, hello, they have National Geographic. Because I like it, but I don't think on it. So they're not marketing there enough.
Yeah, and that's funny because that is a channel that I think would do better on Hulu because National Geographic is not something that I would clump in with Disney. It's more.
See, I would because I know that Disney himself, Walt, liked nature. He was all about that.
Sure.
He was all about that.
But like growing up in the 70s, my parents used to watch National Geographic, you know, shows. It was never like a Disney product growing up. And I think, you know, if they're going to do kind of like an offshoot or whatever, I mean, you know, they were talking about either eliminating or somehow incorporating Hulu into the entire thing. But I think, Yeah, I don't think of Nat Geo when I think of Disney, or when I launch the app, you know, when I see these Nat Geo shows, I'm like, oh yeah, I totally forgot. Right. So yeah, it's kind of a weird thing.
I also
shut up, Danny.
I'm also kind of like Ro. Any preschool stuff. Obviously, I don't have a preschooler. You know, I will watch the nostalgic stuff of DuckTales, things that we grew up with. I also will add, and this is gonna. I don't care. I'm going to throw this hot topic out there. And that is anything that I feel like, one, I just won't like, but like sometimes they're just including stuff that's like, why? You know, like a future Snow White movie that right now I'm not watching because I'm just like, nope, nope. You know, and I was so excited for Willow to finally have something. And then it kind of. No, I was so mad because I wanted it. I know you two both knew I wanted that. And then all of a sudden I was like, I didn't even finish it for the first time in a very
long
time.
Wow, you didn't finish it?
Did not finish the show. Yeah, I know. And I was so excited for Warwick. I was so excited for this and that. Yeah. And I was just like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. I have that kind of coming up.
Yeah, we'll get there.
In fact, that's actually next.
I have Snow White up here. I love the princesses, y'all. And
just, right.
We'll get there. Sorry, I'm getting excited.
Before I get to the next point here, did you guys watch the extremely short Once Upon a Studio?
Yes, I cried. No, not yet.
I'm hearing great reviews on it and very nostalgic and yada yada.
It's 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so good. I thought it was going to be like a large, like a production, kind of like a 30-minute Once Upon a Studio where it talks about the studio itself, but it's just a animated short. And I'm not going to spoil it for Ro, but there's a spot that's in there. That I'm watching it and I'm like, hit me in the feels. And I was like, wow, all right. There's a couple of smaller ones that go into that. Some of the old voice actors returned, some of the stuff that was on the cutting room floor to make people that are no longer with us.
Right.
Yeah, really good. Really, really good.
What I really like about that one, the Once Upon a Studio, what you were just talking about is they use stuff from the cutting room floor. Not AI. Not AI, okay? It was the real stuff. And I'm glad they did that because I thought that should be the way. However, what made me cry, I was all nostalgia, but the emotions were going. And part of me was just like, Walt would have loved this, but he will be so sad as to what they've done to some of his stuff. He would be, I was in tears. I couldn't have done it live. There's no way.
So it was good and bad tears.
It was a mix, people.
So if any of you guys that are listening right now haven't seen it, go check it out. It really did so 10 good. Minutes or so. Really, really cool. Some really cool effects. And there's part of it that really, really got me in the feels growing up Disney. So, So one of the points that I was thinking about was, there's so much contention on some of the shows, whether it's Star Wars, whether it's Marvel, whether it's some of the remakes that they're doing, live action versus animation. But I thought of this comment here, is there such thing as too much content? So have they watered down the product, say, of Star Wars? Are they making too many shows to try to fit everything in? Are they making too many Marvel shows to give just views and content? All right, you guys want content? Here it is. We're just going to throw it at you. Watch it or not. Same thing with a lot of the Disney shows that they've put out, whether it's the Game Changers with Mighty Ducks, whether it's insert show name here that was a big franchise, and yet they want to continue to press it and say, here's content, here's content, here's content, necessarily without thinking about it. So is there such a thing as too much content? Nicole, what do you think?
Okay. One, I feel like in regards to Disney Classic, Disney, whatever you want to call it, for them, or for me, in my perspective, I feel there is a lot of remakes, not enough original content, new, like brand new blood, brand new stories, brand new this, and not taking things that have been done and redoing it or fixing it. No, leave it. You don't like it, don't watch it. You know, because there's plenty of people that are watching it and they like it, they love it, leave it alone. And I think that's one thing that's missing right now. I feel like there's just not enough original new content. Marvel and Star Wars, you know what? They got to make money somewhere. So it's either they're going to do it through movies, or they're going to do it through books, they're going to do it through comics, they're going to do somewhere. You know, they got to keep their companies going. And if they don't keep their companies going, then what are they going to do? They got people under them. So what are you going to tell their employees? You know, mm-hmm. So I think that there's a balance. However, I think that, you know, you got to do it just right. You got to find that the balance and the force, you know, in that regard to the others. You know, again, National Geographic, that'll be always interesting because it's animals and nature. And right now, I think just a lot of change still naturally. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and I'm happy we have our Grogu and Mando and Garza Whip for Ro, you know, see? Okay, then. I made my thing. We're good now.
Ro, what do you think?
So, I don't believe in the concept of too much content, because it all depends on how that content is perceived by the audience or the consumer. I think, I don't think we would be having this discussion if all the content was good and well conceived and well written, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I think we're, you know, this goes back to the old argument, you know, do we all have, you know, Star Wars fatigue? I'm like, no, it's not really Star Wars fatigue. It's fatigue of mediocrity. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as like watering down, and what's his name? Liam Neeson was talking about this just a couple of months ago regarding too many Star Wars shows and watering down the brand. You know, there is an argument to be said about, you know, Star Wars no longer being special. It used to be a tentpole event, summer blockbuster type of thing. And mm-hmm. now it's like, you know, we've got all these shows that come up, you know, every so often, and we're watching it on a weekly basis, which is fine. But I think when it comes to something as old as Star Wars as a franchise and as well revered as Star Wars is, you really have to step back and say, look, do we spit this show out? Do 10 episodes and just get it out to fill space? Or do we wait a while, think about the concept, have a team of writers come in and really do a spot on job of writing this narrative to go forward and do this story? I think lately they've just been kind of rushing through things just to get content because they have a channel to put, you know, material on. Mm-hmm. And the programs really have suffered because of that. They are just, you know, rinsing through, you know, the scripts and stuff like that, and not really, you know, sitting back and saying, you know, is this good? Is this good enough? And I think they're sitting back and saying, yeah, this is good enough for content. Just put it out. So I don't think that there's too much mediocre content. But as far as, you know, a Star Wars fatigue per se, or a Marvel fatigue, you know, I don't think that that concept really kind of plays out, you know. And what is the last MCU project was, Secret Invasion.
No. Currently it's Loki.
Right. Currently is Loki, but the finished ones, the finished one was Secret Invasion, which I absolutely loved.
Me too.
Except for the last episode. It seemed rushed. It seemed a little, I don't know. It was a little weird. And I don't know. I feel like, you know, they're just saying, you know, I'll give you the example of, you know, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series was supposed to be a movie first. Right. And the Disney Plus people said, hey, we have a channel. We need content. Okay. Let's stretch out this movie concept into a, you know, multi-episode thing. And I feel like that is what is watering down the creative process of Star Wars and Marvel. I think more of Star Wars, really, because I feel like Marvel is doing something different than Star Wars is. And they just announced that Marvel is getting back to a writer's room, getting back to a production Bible, getting back to a showrunner, which it blows my mind that they weren't doing that. And I can see that Star Wars is not doing that, because they're trusting one guy to do everything. And you know, when you get into the situation where you have multiple writers, I think that really kind of helps, you know, carve that process out into the best thing that end product could be. You know, Star Wars, especially the sequel trilogy, what they did is they trusted one director to do one thing and didn't have an overall vision. And I think Star Wars on the small screen is starting to do that. And yes, we have, everybody's calling Filoni and Favreau the savior of Star Wars. Unfortunately, I feel like we're seeing the cracks in the pavement when it comes to Filoni and the Ahsoka series. As much as people enjoy the Ahsoka series, I see a lot of discrepancies. I see a lot of empty space. I see a lot of problems that the Ahsoka show showed us when it comes to problems with Star Wars.
Yeah, I definitely can understand that. In fact, there's a quote from another property it'd be a Warner Brothers property. Nicole probably will know this one. Ro, you might as well. Progress for the sake of progress should be discouraged. Yes. That comes from Harry Potter. Dolores Umbridge gave a perfect speech about that. Just because you need to put content out doesn't mean that you can put it out without thought and process. And I agree 100%. I'm glad that at least Marvel is getting back to having a writer's room and having a general direction that they want to take it, and feel so strongly that Disney needs to do the same thing. I know Filoni wrote all of Ahsoka, but there was a different director nearly for every episode. And he let them have their own interpretation on it. And I think that's kind of where we're seeing a lot of that. I enjoyed the show, but like you, Ro, I could start to see the cracks in it as well.
I wanted to feature Patrick's comment at 7:56 p.m. If you scroll up right above Danny, Patrick says, if you do not fill the space, Disney Plus will lose subscriptions. But lately, what has Disney Plus been doing?
Oh, there it is.
See it?
Yes.
Disney Plus has been losing subscriptions. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like their content is watered down. Danny said it. They're settling. They're just putting stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And the audience is kind of, you know, getting a clue. So they are leaving in droves, unfortunately.
That's part of it. Not all of it, though. And not all of it. Because I know I've liked most of the content that I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But, you know, I think like everyone... like everyone here tonight, I think 90% of the people subscribed to Disney Plus because of new Star Wars content. I would venture to say that. Obviously that's not fact based on anything, but I would feel that that's probably, you know, more true than people think. And yeah, we've had a lot of hit and misses with Star Wars. And I think, obviously I know a lot of people that have subscribed to Disney Plus that have left because, they're just not happy with what they're doing with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you do have to water it down a little bit.
Oh, but you know what, though? I disagree with that because Andor is anything but watered down. Andor is a well-crafted drama, and not just Star Wars. It's well-written for any genre. It's a spy thriller. It's a drama. It's an amazing show that you can tell was taken seriously. So I don't believe that you have to water down stuff because that's how, what's happening with Disney Plus right now? People are leaving. Why?
Well, I think there's different reasons. I don't think it's
just- well, yeah, there's different reasons. There are financial reasons. The world is in a weird place right now, but I think I would venture to say that if you don't like a service because of the stuff that you're watching, then you leave. And if you do like the stuff that you're watching, then you probably would leave in less numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's just logic.
Yeah.
That's just logic, Captain.
I think, I don't want to say it's a different type of Star Wars, but it's a different type of show than what we've gotten. Andor was a different type of show.
You people with the Andor is a different type of Star Wars.
I loved it. Trust me, it's one of my favorite shows. And I liked the direction that they took. But it was a different tone than what we've been getting.
Sure.
And that encouraged me. I loved it. I was like, all right, we're getting a different, same universe, same dynamics, but a different tone. And I like that.
There's a lot of bricks and screws in that show, though. I know it bothered a lot of people.
In jeans. No, that was Mandalorian that had jeans.
Jeans.
But
Danny, I scroll past you all the time.
Yeah.
Shots fired, but who Uh-oh. Shot first?
Hey, she said he was old, so he's gonna get to
I got a couple in there.
Right.
What's up? We got two Andrews in the house. Thanks for coming, Andrew.
Yes. Welcome, Andrew too. Good to see you here.
so funny that we call him Andrew too.
One of the things I was thinking of on that was, is it would it have to do with the budgets? So everyone talks about the large budgets that you have for movies. But when you think about it, and this was just something that I saw on Twitter, and I was like, how do I respond to this? And should I, respond to this? And they're talking about the budgets between the Star Wars shows versus the Star Wars movies. And that's the reason why we're getting more shows than we are movies. And I'm like, I don't know. Do you think that budgets have anything to do with content that we're getting?
Yeah, I think budgets have a lot to do with content we're getting. I think, the advent of the technological advances of, shooting in a stage versus, the traditional way. I think movies obviously are a lot more expensive and probably more, there's more risk involved in doing a movie at, $250 to $300 million versus a series at one-third that cost. So I do believe that budgets have a lot to do with that.
So I know Ahsoka was budgeted for just over $100 million. And we got 8 episodes. So 38 minutes, that's 3 episodes. So that'd be about a regular length movie. So 2.5 movies we got for $100 million, and the budget for, I guess, let me look that up.
The most expensive of the sequel trilogy, I think, was The Last Jedi at almost $300 million.
Budget for
I don't know why I know that.
Skywalker was $416 million.
Say that again.
$416 million for Rise of Skywalker. So that's wow. All right. Yeah.
I'm gonna interrupt. I'm gonna throw out a Disney quote here, Walt Disney quote, because this is kind of true. I'd say it's my biggest problem all my life. It's money. It takes a lot of money to make these dreams come true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Move on. You know, and obviously as a corporation, as a big company, you have to mitigate those expenses. You know,
true. You got to be wise.
Yeah, you got to be wise. It's a hard mix. It's a hard mix to balance. You know, I mean, you want the best product out there and you want to spend as little money as you can. You know, these executives know that they got to spend, you know, they got to spend money to make money. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, budgets obviously come into play, but there's a delicate balance there where, you know, you have to maintain a level of quality in your shows in order for you to be able to sell them. Mm-hmm. Look at Willow. Why is Willow not on Disney Plus anymore? I think
it turned out bad.
Right.
Well, and I think, you know, I think whoever was behind Willow, forgive me, this is my perspective. Nobody else's feelings but mine and mine alone. For me, when I watched it, I was just like, oh, what are they trying to sell us? What are they trying to convey? Why are we not, like, I feel like I'm not back in Willow time. I feel like I'm different spot. Are they trying to push stuff onto me that I'm like, it just, I don't know, but it just didn't feel like Willow. It felt like other stuff. And dare I say propaganda? I don't know. And that's what I felt. So guess what? I stopped watching. It didn't feel like a fantasy. It didn't feel like I was there. There was, like, I wasn't there, and I wanted to be there. I love Ren Faire. I love all that fantasy junk. But then they took me out of it. So that's me. Yeah, that is what it is. So I stopped watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not because I didn't want to, like, not finish it, because I wanted to, but I just couldn't. I kept getting pulled away. That's how I felt. Like, I would be there and all of a sudden pulled away. Something, a line would happen. I'm like, no. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done. I just couldn't do it anymore.
So. Yeah.
Maybe some of the writers should have gone back and watched the original Willow and taken notes.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, the main writer was Kasdan, who's, you know, the name alone, you know, generates some sort of, you know, prestige, having co-written The Empire Strikes Back. You know, one of the best Star Wars out there. So it's surprising that that it did as poorly as it did. And I think, you know, Andrew number one's got a point. They just didn't understand the genre.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I don't know, the modern take, the modern music, all that stuff just like pulled you out.
Yeah.
It just pulled you out. And this, you know, and really the script was really bad. The story was bad. And I think, you know, I really love the actors. I say it all the time. I enjoy the actors a lot. It's just that what they did with the story was like, you know, it brings me back to a comparison. Star Trek Picard, the second season of Star Trek Picard was really bad because of the script. Mm-hmm. And once that third season of Picard came out, the script was a hell of a lot better. The story was better. And you can tell that, it wasn't really the actor's fault. It was what they were doing with the dialogue, the script, the situations. That was kind of a very big miss in my book. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it all comes down to the writing. I mean, the writing, the script, the outline, that is your spine. That is your blueprint for whatever story you're trying to tell. And if you don't have that, I mean, you can have, you know, George Lucas said the same thing. You can have the shiniest special effects, but if the story sucks, then the whole thing is going to fail.
Right. Or maybe just that's not the story we wanted. We just didn't, not most of us didn't want. And
yeah, but
not watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that kind of touches on, you know, I know we all know people that is like, just tell me a story. I'm like, okay, that's
right.
That's,
I know. I did that with Ahsoka, which I'm glad I did for once.
Yeah. I mean, that's nice. That's fine. But you know, sometimes the story that they tell you is, doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Or it sucks.
In this case, it definitely didn't make sense and it sucked.
Hey, Ro was talking about dialogue. You look at Hayden Christensen in the prequel trilogy versus the Hayden Christensen that we got in Ahsoka.
Sure.
When the dialogue was actually there. It was really, really cool to see, to, because he got a lot of crap for his portrayal.
Yeah,
as the prequel trilogy went along, and you know, and then Ahsoka comes out, and where'd that come from, man?
Yeah, yeah.
But so one of the other things that I was thinking on, and we've mentioned before on a couple of other shows, is storytelling, whether it's weekly versus binge watching. And I know I had mentioned that I had a few people that I work with that would not watch Ahsoka week for week for week, but they waited until they could sit down and watch the entire thing on a Saturday. And then, you know, on Sunday, they came to me at church and were like, dude, what was up with this? What was up with that? What was up? You know, it's like, all right, you know, try to explain it to them. So do you guys have a particular way you like to watch, whether it's a weekly episodic show or if it's just, hey, I really want to sit down and watch the whole thing at once? Or is it kind of a mixture of the two? Nicole, what do you think?
You know, I think Netflix really got us used to that, that binge, that excitement, that rush, the get through it all. But then what? When they started dropping like the episodes one a week or two a week, whatever, I liked that because for the first time in a very long time, it made me actually have to be patient again and actually anticipate what might be happening. What's going to happen? I guess we'll see you next week. And I liked that. So, you know, again, Netflix is great to binge and do my Stranger Things and whatever. But with Disney Plus, I'm very glad. And I do love the fact that they started like dropping shows in the evenings because it's wonderful. I don't, no more 2 o'clock getting up in the morning because I don't want to have spoilers. No, I can actually be alive and human, complete human form, not half asleep. Right. And watch it because I love that. I love that. Smart of them because they're, you know, competing
yeah. Prime time. I don't know why they did that. Like originally, you know, aired yeah. shows at 2 a.m. Is it because of the West Coast? Like they would get like at midnight or something? Or I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
Right, Ro. Is there a particular way that you enjoy watching? Are you a binger or are you satisfied with the weekly episodes?
I am a self-proclaimed binger. I wish Ahsoka and Star Wars would have been dropped all at once. And I think because there were so with Ahsoka in particular, there was so many loose ends in each episode that gave us too much time to think about. You know what I mean? It gave us too much free time to kind of, you know, ask questions that we may not like the answers to, whether it's, you know, what is Shin and Baylan after? Oh, we really still don't know. And the series is all over, is over with. I think questions like that are questions that, that I like to ask when I'm watching a series. You know, as a content creator, obviously a week to week model is better because it gives us material to talk about each week. But as a viewer, it's for me, it's different. It's, you know, I rather would watch the entire show all at once because it gives you the opportunity to kind of absorb it all. And then maybe, you know, have questions answered that you had when you were watching the series other than, you know, week by week.
Yeah, and I can understand that as well. I think mine came from growing up in the 80s, 90s, where you would have a show that ran for 20 episodes, and then you had to wait while they went and filmed more episodes. And I was actually talking to my mom about this the other day. We were talking about the Ahsoka show, and she's really kind of gotten out of touch with Disney or out of Star Wars after the movies. So she hasn't really followed along too much. But she equated it to something. There was a show called Dynasty. Mm-hmm. And the biggest question for a whole summer was, who shot JR?
Oh, that was Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. So you had
remember, I'm old. So I know things.
Well, hey, at least I didn't watch the show, but at least I had it started with a D. Similar principle, Dynasty Dallas, soap opera-ish type show. Episodic, you watched it week in and week out, and then you got this big thing, cliffhanger of who shot JR? And you had to wait 4 months to find out what happened. And I don't know if people could do that now.
No, because they've lost patience.
Right.
Yeah, because everyone, we've gotten to that, we've gotten spoiled enough, even content.
Spoiled.
If we want to watch Star Wars content, normally, or I'll say even Marvel content, we'll have Marvel show that comes out. Then we'll have a week or two break. And then we'll have another show that comes out to hold us over. And then you get all this other stuff in between to fill in the spaces. And then, hey, here's the next season. Mandalorian did the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Mandalorian season one. Oh, then we jumped over to this one. Oh, now we're going to jump over here. And we have this animated show. So with the we're constantly getting that content without the breaks that we would get, say, like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, watching TV. It's crazy that
we're spoiled rotten.
Right. Cool. So it's my wife. I like episodic shows. My wife, she doesn't want to see it until it all comes out. I'm just going to sit in on, and she'll watch a show. Like she watched Ahsoka, but she waited until it was all over and then she watched it. And because I'm watching it again, I'm falling asleep. And she does that with a lot of her shows. You know, she just watches 4 or 5 episodes at a block because she can't sleep at night, and I'm asleep. And it's pretty crazy. I don't know. I like that. Get in, sit down for 30 minutes, get lost in it. And then, all right, got to go cook dinner or go do this or go do that. So I don't know. I kind of like both, but it's hard to say. But I'm getting low on questions here. So one of the last questions, the second to last questions that I have, has streaming services helped or hindered theatrical releases? What do you think?
I definitely think that they have hindered theatrical releases. But it's a combination of things. Obviously, again, family budgets come into play a lot. 100%. You know, COVID and the pandemic certainly put a kibosh on, having people gather in small places. So that is another aspect of things. There's a lot of things that came into play. I am still a proponent of theaters. I don't care how good your home theater is at home. I'd rather go out to a movie theater and watch it on a big screen, experience it with other people. That energy you cannot find in your living room. Any distractions? The wife is going to vacuum. The wife needs to go and grab a snack. I'm like, will you please sit down, honey? Can you pause it? No, I can't. Start down. So for me, it's go to the theater, grab your popcorn, and your sunscreen, because it's always sunny on Scarif.
Nicole, what do you think? Has it helped or hindered theatrical releases?
I guess it depends, because Ro just made really good points there. Okay. 2020 hit. Thankfully, we had Disney Plus. Thankfully, we got the shows just in a different way so we could all see it. Even though I also agree with Ro that theaters are awesome and they're great, and it's awesome to see things on a big screen.
Yep.
It's awesome and it is fun. And then, of course, you have, again, I'm right with Ro on this. I actually almost pretty much 100% agree with them on this. And that is also with, you know, again, the budgets, inflation right now, everything. There's a lot of things that is happening right now. It's not just content stuff. There is inflation. There's just a world mess around us right now. And yeah, it is what it is right now. We got to go one day at a time. And
although, you know, I will say in defense of expensive movies, you know, a lot of theaters offer, you know, $3 Tuesdays. So,
or $5 Tuesdays.
Right. Take advantage of it.
Right. Or go to your local theaters. Like, we have a local theater that's not AMC that you can go to, and it's like $7. Like, it's old fashioned, but you know what? You're going to have a good time still. I'd also like to add, though, they hinder themselves a little bit. Again, just like Willow, we have other upcoming content that some of us might not be seeing, because we're just like, why did you do that? Like, you're messing up what our childhood, you're messing up this, or really you're just messing, why mess with something that was just so good at the beginning? You know, you're changing, you know, one, Walt Disney, I think he was a really good storyteller, and he took things that some authors already did and was able to bring them in a magical way, like Brothers Grimm, taking it from completely a horror film to, hey, it's very magical and fairy tales, you know, for everyone, including children. And I feel, I don't like it. I don't like when they mess with stuff that's because they just want to. In fact, actually, I feel like we're taking a step back here, because I'm going to go back to Warwick Davis. He has been a really big person in regards to, you know, rights and equality, especially for people with dwarfism and stuff. And for some odd reason, we're taking like 10 steps back. And I don't even understand as to why, because they go, it's equality. No, it's not. No, it's not. And I just, it's horrible. It's sickening. And it's like, no. And I think that's also the big thing. I think that people are getting fed up with being told this is the way you must live. And people are like, no, this is not the way we want to live. And I think that's also part of it. People are getting fed up and they're just like, nope, you're going to push that. Then I can make a decision as a consumer, whether I go to that movie or not. Because trust me, I'm going to the movies. I've been to the movies a lot. Like, I just went last week. I'm going to be going to the Marvels next month. I have movie plans. But maybe I won't go see a movie, because if they're pushing something, or they're going for equality, but they're really showing me that they're not for equality, then I'm going to choose not to see it. So there's that.
Can I, sorry, I want to make
I had to go off my spiel.
That's beautiful. Well said. Spencer has a point. If you want to leave that comment back up, you know, studios are afraid to take a chance on non-franchise projects. I think this is one of the reasons that I, you know, lately I've been a big advocate in telling everybody to go see The Creator. It's kind of brand new science fiction. I know some people are enjoying that film. I'm enjoying it for many reasons. Mostly a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that I am reading about the film. How it was shot. I'm really enjoying that facet of it. Obviously, I'm a big behind the scenes guy. But you know, Rebel Moon is coming in December on Netflix with a short theatrical release as well. And I think all of these non-franchise IPs, I think is refreshing, you know, from a science fiction standpoint. I think, you know, we're used to just going to go see Star Wars or Star Trek, Marvel, the next Marvel movie. And I think, you know, studios obviously know that, and then, you know, they're making buku money. But I think as consumers, we should also kind of support that independent, I don't want to say independent, but I think we should also support movies that are not part of franchises. At least try them out. You know, it's I think it's important for us to kind of, you know, branch out and, you know, try something new.
Yeah, it's a little different for me living out here in the desert. My nearest movie theater is 45 minutes away. So you just, hey, let's go to the movies. All right. Well, no, you actually have to plan it out. And you know, with younger kids, you have to make sure that, you know, it's something that they can go see. And, you know, it's not like, you know, oh, something happens, you just drive 5 minutes home and then take care of business and then whatnot. But so that comes into play for me. Another thing that comes into it is something that Ro mentioned earlier, kind of like Kenobi was supposed to originally be a movie. But then they decided, you know what? Oh, we're going to put it over here. And, you know, it's just, I think I would have liked it better had it been a movie.
Yeah.
And how many properties or ideas are they taking that are supposed to be movies? And they're like, oh, you know what? We'll just go ahead and lengthen it out a little bit and we'll just put it over here, you know, for people to ingest over here, to give them their money's worth.
And I think that's why a lot of these shows seem watered down to me, at least. And I'm sure I'm not alone. I think, you know, they have a nice little concept where they want to make a, you know, 90-minute, 2-hour movie, to stretch out, you know, a story to fit, you know, 8 episodes or whatever, 12 episodes. I think it really starts to water down the concept of it. Yeah. And I think that's what Disney Plus's problem has been. I know for me it has been on the Star Wars end, not as much on the MCU end. You know, there's a different team handling both franchises, and I understand the realities of that. But yeah, it's crazy. Wait, Backyard Tardis says, Ro, people talk and cheer and yell and get up and go to the bathroom in the theater. I mean, the reason that I love the theater is because you're part of that energy, especially the cheering.
And like movies like Oppenheimer, hello, you need that to get that feel, that, okay, you know, you feel that. Or the energy from Star Wars or Marvel, and the next thing you know, you got Thanos in your face. If you're getting a 3D. It's crazy. You know, like that's the fun of it. And I also noted in the thing, I'm also a fan of drive-ins. We have several here in Illinois.
Where?
One in McHenry. That's my favorite. I love the McHenry drive-in.
Okay.
I also have one not that far from me in Earlville. We used to have one right over the border in Wisconsin, but that's gone now because they were dumb. Patrick knows all about the McHenry one. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Okay.
We'll it's have a to check it out. So highly recommend. Also, if you have a drive-in, follow them. Follow them. Go there because, you know, that'll all make a difference. So
that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. And I understand geography has a lot to do with it. You guys live out in the boonies. I live 6 minutes from my nearest AMC IMAX theater.
Okay, but see, now that's funny because I live out in the boondocks, but yet I am about 10 minutes away from my AMC too.
Yeah.
But I also don't live that far from about 30 minutes maybe from one drive. Actually, I'm about 30 minutes away from two drive-ins, one in Dixon as well, Earlville, and then McHenry's my favorite. And they just blow it out of the water. They're awesome. So
yeah.
That would be probably the one the closest to you would be in McHenry. So
it's an advantage living on Coruscant, you know, the center of the galaxy here in Chicago. I mean, there's a Starbucks. They're building a Starbucks in my living room right here. So
Yeah, I've got that too, but yet somehow I've got the cornfields and you don't. I
I don't know about that.
I yeah. thought you were on Scarif anyways.
Yep.
Poor sons, seriously.
All right, so time for our final question before we get off here and go join WSTR. So would you say, in your opinion, has Disney Plus been an overall success? Nicole, we'll start with you.
There's no right or wrong answer here.
That's why it's your opinion. What do you think?
Yes and no. Like okay. right now, we're teetering. Okay. Y'all, we're teetering. Because one, the world's a mess. Two, right now there's still a strike going on. We're going to feel it. Okay, mm-hmm. y'all. Y'all don't want content. You're about to not get content. So you're gonna understand real quick your other answer. And you might change your attitude in the next year. Because you might be like, where's all that content? And you're gonna be like, oh, yeah, about that. I also think in some ways it's been successful because I mean, yes, people are leaving. I mean, but there's various reasons to why maybe people are leaving, you know, money sucks right now, you know? Yes and no. Yes and no.
Oh my God.
There is no right answer, people.
Oh, Nick. Nick was yelling at the kids when everybody went crazy over Captain America picking up Thor's hammer. Are you serious? Come on, Nick. Get off my lawn, you damn kids.
You know, I'm going to do one more quick thing. I'm going to add, so I got to put, I'm going to put Walt back in because I think it's important that they start getting back the freaking roots. One of his quotes is, we keep moving forward, opening new doors and doing new things because we're curious and curiosity keeps leading us down new paths. And I think that's also very important. We have to continue to do that.
Yes.
We have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick is killing me.
Nick, don't kill him. I need a Scarif Club eventually again. Stop it.
Bro, what about you? What do you think? Has Disney Plus been the success that they touted it to be when it first was launched?
I will say that it's still too early to tell. I think I saw a comment earlier from Andrew from Coruscant Radio Underground and the Science Fictionary podcast. I think Andrew stated that they were boasting the fact that they could operate on a deficit mm-hmm. early in the first few, you know, years of their existence. I think they might still be doing that. So I feel like it's still too early to tell. It's weird. You know, Disney is kind of teetering when it comes to their streaming service. I think there's a lot of factors in play that that are contributing to either their success or their failure. I think Disney, I think for the most part, they're a company that is too big to fail. They'll probably figure something out, whether it's, you know, putting things together or selling off items. And I'm not talking about Disney in general. I think I'm just talking about the Disney Plus aspect of things. Who knows? I mean, you know, to me, it's weird that they took Willow out, and that's like, has there been any other project other than a lot of their legacy vault type shows, or movies that they've taken off the service?
We know that there is definitely some things that have not, like, oh my gosh, the, Lily Potter Cinderella, one of my favorite, I love that one. And it's not there. I'm like, really? It came actually out on my birthday. And I was so excited. And then they took it away.
I wonder if this is a strategy to, I wonder if it's a strategy to keep it off the market maybe. For a while. And then they're going to. Kind of like the
vault thing again, every 7 years, the way they used to, maybe. And maybe
something like that. And then either they're going to bring it back or they're going to license it to another server, to that's another service funny. To, you but know, just to get some money.
They're also taking things off though. Because they're like, it's too controversial. Well, you know what? Give the consumer the right to choose. They don't want to watch it. They're not going to watch it.
There have been a few shows that because of lower watches that they have pulled. I'm not sure if the Game Changers show is still on there. But it did not go over well. Not that many people, I guess, were into Mighty Ducks hockey.
Well, I think the first season did good because I liked the first season. I think what happened is once Emilio left, everyone else went, we out. We peace it out. We're good. And they lost that. They the lost hook. A very important thing. And yeah. I think that was the nostalgic thing. And it is what it is. It sucks. Because I liked it. I actually watched it. It was fun. It was fun, people. Okay, this is family stuff. This is not serious stuff. You know?
Sure.
So, lighthearted.
All right. Well, that's about all the questions I have. Now, I do have a couple of other things to get to. One, Nicole, I'm glad you're here because...
There it is. I'm so excited.
Tell us really quick about the Red 5 Book Club and our Heir to the Empire book.
I am so excited. Okay. I did love Ahsoka, but I still love Ro. It's okay. It's okay. He'll get an Ewokier eventually. Anyways, so I'm so excited because we have officially launched again the Red 5 Book Club. I didn't even know about it the first time. It doesn't even matter. And so I'm excited because in November, we're going to start reading Heir to the Empire. It's going to be over the 2 months of November, December, which I think is actually going to work because of the holiday season. Let's be honest. We get busy. Life happens. So I'm excited because Sunday night, so I'll be dropping questions inside of our Red 5 Network's Discord. We have very specific channels just for this Red 5 Book Club. And I'm excited because I think this is going to be fun to see from another perspective. It'll be fun to hear everyone else's opinion and kind of see, maybe we'll find out something new that we weren't expecting. Maybe also we're like, oh, that was in there. And we just didn't know. You never know. You never know. It'll be fun. Oh yeah. And Ro and I both have some, like, really, he's got some cool stuff. I've got some cool stuff that we're also going to be, we're going to be adding in some giveaways and stuff. So I'm excited because this is the first of many book club stuff to come, and I'm just very excited. So, and you can hit me up on Red 5 Reading is the book club name on X/Twitter. And yeah, hit me up or on Peace Love Fandoms, and you can just DM me and I'll get you all hooked up. I'm excited.
I was also going to say, let everybody know where they can find you as well.
Spencer loved the bookmarks.
Well, as you just heard me, I'm Nicole of Peace Love Fandoms on Instagram, on Twitter X, and on TikTok. One third of Used and Abused, and one half of Peace Love Disney on Facebook. And Red 5 Reading.
Awesome.
I keep busy when I'm not busy.
Sure. Yeah.
So.
And Ro, I believe you had that episode that dropped today.
Yes. Quick cuts episode. We take a couple of friends and discuss certain topics. So DJ and I, we talked about artificial intelligence in movies when it pertains to either writing or facial, you know, replacement technology, all that fun stuff. We talked about that. We had a Sentry Mode segment. That is my little 5-question Q&A. A lot of fun with Tim from the FSF Popcast. See how he did. I asked him 5 questions. Yeah.
Should we tell them what Red 5 Reading's also going to be doing? That's kind of like that.
Oh yeah. So we'll do that. Yeah. And then the rest of the quick cuts, Ray Richards, he's a controversial, follower of mine. I say controversial tongue in cheek. He's a fun guy, but we talked about, a really fun topic. He had some radical thoughts about Uncle Owen and his political beliefs. He equated Uncle Owen as one of those guys that watch conspiracy theories on Fox News. So
sorry.
So
I just can't. I'm like, it's Star Wars. It's big.
Yeah, right. So listen to that one. It was a lot of fun. Brad is obviously busy with his new baby, and the family is over, but we'll be recording some episodes, some deep dives real soon. I have another guest that we'll be recording. We're going to do an 80s show with CJ soon, talking about 80s movies and music and stuff like that.
Should I like some blonde big hair and big?
Yep.
And
exactly.
Like, I mean, I could do it. Look at this. I can do that.
And I think Monday I'm recording with What Star Wars Means to You. We're going to be talking about our favorite force powers throughout all 9 movies.
Nice.
Interesting. Awesome.
And where can people find you?
At Scarif Podcast. Just tell your smart speaker to play the latest Scarif Scuttlebutt podcast, and you'll hear my voice.
Awesome.
So,
all right.
I have to add this fun fact real quick. It'll be quick, I promise. So I came up with a fun idea that's called On the Fives. Kind of like Rose Short Clips, we have to figure out if we're going to do a video or if we're going to do it via article. But I'm going to be asking various Red Five podcasters like 5 book club or bookish questions. And it's going to be On the Fives. This is going to be my bigger thing. Is a lot of things are going to be On the Fives. So you'll notice a lot of things, 5, 15, 25. You'll notice something happening.
Yeah. And actually, remind folks to, you had posted the schedule.
Yes, I did.
So find that schedule, save it on your phone. When we start reading the books, we'll let you know.
What or be chapters. A rebel like this one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm a rebel too. I do it too, but you know.
I already read it too, but I'm going to read it again, DJ.
Well, I just read it. I had some downtime this afternoon, and it took 2 hours to read the book. So,
I did. You didn't. Me.
it was a good time.
Just
I was sitting on the pot, and I just read the whole book in one sitting.
Did your legs go numb? Could you even walk afterwards?
I don't know. I average just over 100 words or 100 pages per hour. So
wow.
I read fast.
You got a little excited, folks.
Yes. Very good book. But we are kind of eating into time of the next show coming up. So I want to definitely to thank Ro and Nicole for coming on with me today. Thanks to everybody in the chat. You've been absolutely amazing. But don't forget, go join WSTR Radio after this. They're talking episode 336, which is the movie Proposal.
Nice.
So, yes, go check them out. Thanks, everybody, for stopping in, and we'll see you next week.